What can truck sales tell us about the economy?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. After a house, the most expensive thing most Americans will buy is a car or a truck. And today, we're going to find out how the automakers did last month in the face of rising gas prices. One way to zero in on that is to look specifically at truck sales, since trucks tend to get worse gas mileage than smaller cars. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
March is the start of the all-important spring sales season. George Magliano is a senior economist at IHS Automotive. He says truck sales have been holding steady at about 7 million a month. He sees more steady growth down the road.
It's being led by small businesses coming back, individual contractors, even a little bit on construction.
Those small business owners are buying new pickups, vans, and SUVs. Magliano says strong truck sales point to an improving economy because businesses wouldn't be buying something new if they weren't making money. Even some of the last holdouts, people who clung to their creaky old pickups during the recession, are showing up in showrooms. Ivan Drury is a senior automotive analyst at Edmunds.com.
If you look at the vehicles that are being traded in for this month compared to the previous Marches, you'll see that they're on average about a year older.
Drury says higher gas prices are also driving sales. People want to get rid of their old gas guzzlers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down 0.5% in Tokyo, about 0.1% lower right now in London. One thing that is going up, though, is Spain's unemployment rate. We learned today that it surged for the 8th straight month to 23.6% in February. That's the worst in the European Union. And half of all young Spaniards don't have a job. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 52 points to reach its highest close since 2007. That would be 13,264.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Next week will mark 100 years since the maiden voyage of the RMS Titanic. Now, 100 years later, most Americans know the tragic story of the Titanic very well, in part because of the success of the movie Titanic. Its director, James Cameron, you may have heard, just made a solo voyage down to the deepest part of the ocean. He went in one of those tiny deep-sea submersibles. One man who knows what that kind of a journey feels like is Robert Ballard, who discovered the Titanic wreck back in 1985. He's now searching for Amelia Earhart's plane. And while he's on land, he's a professor of oceanography at the University of Rhode Island, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you here. Well, there's been a lot of deep sea exploration news lately, and I want to get your thoughts on some of this. Movie maker James Cameron just went deeper into the ocean than anyone has gone before. Amazon.com CEO Jeff Bezos said that he found the Apollo 11 engines at the bottom of the ocean. You're a scientist. What do you make of these celebrities going down and doing all this deep sea exploration?
Well, I think it's, you know, always wonderful when people draw attention to the ocean. And I think also it's very apropos since with the Law of the Sea Convention, half of the United States of America lies beneath the sea. And I think people are starting to turn their focus back onto the planet itself. I don't think people think we're really going to live on Mars in any significant number. And the ocean is taking on a greater importance because of its natural resources that we're discovering, human history that we're discovering. So I think it's very timely.
But what do you think it says that it was a private citizen and not a government or a research institution that made it down to the farthest reaches of the ocean? James Cameron, I'm talking about.
Well, you know, the government did go down there in 1960 to the very spot. Cameron's dive was the first solo dive, but humans had been there before.
Yes, they went back down there in the 1960s, but this is 2012, and the person who did it is not somebody from the Navy. It's James Cameron.
A lot of firsts are done by adventurous individuals who scale a mountain and show that it can be done, and then things follow after that. It's great that all of these people are getting involved. It's drawing a lot of attention, and I think it just bodes well for the future of the oceans.
Now, as someone who has spent so much time looking for things at the bottom of the sea, tell us, what is the point of finding something like Amelia Earhart's plane at the bottom of the ocean?
There's more history in the deep sea than all the museums of the world combined. And a lot of that history is at peril. We've just recently found a ship, 500 BC, that is in a high state of preservation.
Wow.
So when you think about it, there's 1 million, estimated to be 1 million ancient shipwrecks in the deep sea. Think of all the human history that they contain. So it's also because the technology is now making it possible. Jim's dive was made through new technologies. A lot of what we're seeing is the emergence of newer technologies that make the ocean not seem so deep.
As we approach the 100th anniversary of the Titanic shipwreck, you are the guy who found the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean. What's going through your mind right now?
You know, every generation rediscovers the Titanic, and we're going through yet another phase. As you know, Cameron's movie is being re-released in 3D. There's a huge, unbelievable exhibit center being built in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where they built the Titanic. And so the 100th anniversary is sort of giving people to finally come to grips with the fact that they should embrace the Titanic as an amazing piece of technology that they built.
Robert Ballard is professor of oceanography at the Graduate School of Oceanography at the University of Rhode Island. Thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, Frontier Airlines is doing away with free warm chocolate chip cookies for passengers. Sad, I know, but listen to how the airline described the move. Quote, "We've been in an ongoing review of our catering program and are looking to make some new and exciting changes in the coming months. During that review, it was determined that the cookie did not align with either the perception or the financial reality of a low-cost carrier." End quote. We are talking about a cookie, right? In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.